church and through us and through our lives. So we, you know, despite of what perhaps circumstances can sometimes look like, we've got to look to God, because if we keep our eyes upon Him, He's going to protect us. He's going to walk with us. And we will see the victory. And we will see increase. And we will see growth. And we will see miracles. And we will see signs and wonders. So this morning, we started talking about sermons. You must listen to last week's sermon. Pastor Nigel preached a fantastic word out of Jonah. But just on grace, if you haven't listened to that, you must have a listen to it, because it's very revelatory. How's that word? No, that's not quite the right word. But you will get some great revelation from grace in that actual message. So I'd really encourage you to listen to that. So we're continuing this morning, we're continuing on a series that on encounters with Jesus, and who knows that we need an encounter with Jesus. I was very fortunate in my early Christian life to have an encounter which really probably revolutionized my life, or got me on a track where I was starting to pursue God more. Now, I certainly had different moments over that time, but that was probably the most foundational thing in my life, for as far as knowing, I knew sort of God was real, but this really cemented it within my heart and within my spirit, and sort of then pushed me on that journey to pursue and go after Him. So just before I start, I'd just like to pray. Father, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You that You want to encounter us, Lord. Father, that You want us to come and meet with You. And Lord, that You want to, Lord, just touch our lives, Father. And Lord, that You have a plan and purpose and a future for us. And Father, I just thank You that by Your Spirit, Father, Lord, that You'll have Your way, Lord. Oh, Father God, that in these days that we're living in now, Lord, that we want to keep our eyes upon You. We want to keep our heart open to You so that You can use us, in Jesus' name. And another thing I'm doing today, I've got an iPad. I normally always have, just notes on a book or something like that. But I'm endeavoring to use technology now, and hopefully it all will work out. So the title of my message this morning is Devoted or Distracted. You know, to mean what devoted means, the definition of being devoted is someone who is loyal and steadfast, giving love, attention, characterized by zeal, dedication, and consecration. And I'm sure that most wives would want husbands to be devoted to them and showing all those characteristics. Distracted is one's having one's thoughts or attention drawn away, unable to concentrate or give attention to someone or something. So the scripture we want to look at this morning is found in Luke. It's Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 38 to 42. As soon as you turn there, you'll know who I'm going to talk about, and I suppose the title would give it away, Devoted or Distracted. So in verse 38, and we'll just read this whole piece, then we'll go back and we'll go over a few things. Now it happened, as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now that village would have been Bethany, because we see that in the Gospel of John. Now, Martha, I would, as some of the ones that I've looked up as far as concordance, they would say that Martha was the older sister. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Just looking at verse 39 there, it says, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. So this is telling me that Martha was also at some point sitting at Jesus' feet. It wasn't just Mary, but Martha was sitting at Jesus' feet. But then in verse 40, Martha got distracted with much serving. She got distracted by what she thought she needed to have to get done. When we're talking about distractions, I wonder how many of us get distracted and how we respond when we are distracted. I know for myself, that I can get very irritated when I do get distracted. This would be when I'm doing something for myself. It might be, for me, that football game that I'm watching, and my wife wants something done out in the garden. And that would make me very irritated. My attitude is not 100% wanting to go out there and get involved in pulling out some plants or something like that. I was wanting to be in front of the TV watching that game. And so when we do get distracted, especially when it's something that we're wanting to do ourselves, the natural tendency is to become irritated. You know, it may be your intention to go and pray, but you take your phone with you because it's got the Bible app on it. So you're saying, I'm going to go and seek God. I'm going to spend a bit of time with Him. But I take my phone with me. And, oh, man, there's a message just come up from Facebook. Oh, I better check that. It could be important. It may be something that someone's saying, responding to one of my posts. But I take my phone because it's got a Bible app, and I might get a word from God. I might need to look up my Bible app and see what it is. But it's just amazing how often and how easy it is in life to be distracted. I wonder what Martha's motives were. I dare say she was wanting to impress Jesus and everyone else who was there at the time. She thought that by doing a whole lot of work and doing a whole lot of things for God, this was going to almost like earn her a brownie point in a sense. She was wanting to impress not only Jesus, but the number that he had with him, because he would have had all his disciples and possibly more. So she was wanting to impress them with a great big feast. You know, at times in my own life, and I was thinking about this, how often through my actions or what I was doing, even in church, was probably done at times with the wrong motive. And I think as you grow as a Christian, these things sort of start to get exposed in your life. But it's easy to be serving and doing things in church, but it's for a means to an end, or to gain position, or to gain a place of being recognized that hey, this person's really good. Look, he does all this type of work. He's serving here. He's doing it there. Serving there. But if I'm doing that type of work, or serving and doing things, But if my motive's not right, if it's not really where I'm doing it for God, but I'm doing it to be recognized by man, it's not really right. And I don't think Martha's motives were really right in this sense, is that she wanted Jesus to probably say, well, Martha, it's fantastic. Look at all the work you're doing out there. Look at all the food you're preparing for us. Look, this is going to be so great. But he didn't. Martha's response to Jesus was, so for a start off, she was distracted with much serving. And then she approached Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? How many of us have been in situations and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I can't pay this bill? Don't you care that I haven't got a job at the moment? Don't you care that my husband's left me? Don't you care? But God always cares. He went to the cross for us. That's the greatest sign of care that I could imagine. Going to the cross, paying the price for my sin. And opening a place in his kingdom for me. So he does care. The only other time that in the New Testament where someone says that was his disciples, and that's just in Mark 10, verse 38. And we know the story, but I'm just going to read it. Mark 10, verse 38. Four. I don't know why I changed that. Mark 4, verse 38. And this was the story of when Jesus told the disciples to go across the lake. He was in the stern of the boat asleep, and a storm arose. In verse 38, it says, but he was in a... he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? And of course, Jesus got up and spoke to the storm. And the storm was made still. So quite often when we face situations, when we're in bad circumstances, our first response is always, quite often, is to say, Lord, don't you care? And I want to tell you this morning that God cares. God cares for you. No matter what you're facing even right now, God cares. You know, he never leaves us. He doesn't forsake us. He's always with us. And he's always there to be able to give our cares, our worries, our concerns to him. We were never designed to try and work things out for ourselves. Never designed to have to carry the burden ourselves. But we should give it to him because he cares for us. And as we go on, the next point I just want to look at is worried and troubled. You know, we're living in a world at the moment where so many people are worried and troubled. There are so many things happening around about us that perhaps we haven't seen before. You know, we're moving further in, I believe, into the end times or last days or however you would like to call it. But even in these times, if we keep our eyes upon God, he's going to look after us. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things. I mean, she was probably worried and troubled that she couldn't get out this banquet that she was preparing. And how would that look upon her if she didn't get it out? We can be worried and troubled about many things, whether how are we going to pay our rent this week, or how are we going to provide for our family. Or what's going to happen? What is the future? If we focus on those sort of things, if we focus on perhaps the news and what the news tells us all the time, we're certainly going to be worried and troubled. Every time we worry, we're tormenting ourselves. So that when we're worrying, it torments us inside. That's why God doesn't want us to worry. Don't be worried and troubled. In Matthew 6, Jesus says in the great Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't worry about clothing. Consider the lilies in the, verse 25 to 34, sorry. Therefore, I'd say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what your body, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about the clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And if the Lord so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows that we need all these things. But seek first his kingdom. Just put God first. Trust in him, his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So if you're worrying and troubled right now, I just encourage you, give it to God. God knows and God will take care of you. So many times, I would say in my life, I've worried and been troubled about certain things. And it's amazing how something small can mount and grow till it's consuming us. And I've discovered most times that it generally will always work out. And I've spent all this time worrying and being troubled and turmoil, having not being able to sleep, and what if this and what if this. You know, it's amazing how your mind works in overdrive to play out all different scenarios. But I found so many times that, my gosh, why did I spend all that time worrying about it? It's all worked out anyway. You know, it might be not how I'd planned it, or might not be how I thought it would work out, but it worked out. And it's in these times that we just see God move. Just a situation I had just the other day, or last week, well, probably a few weeks ago now, but the first storm we had, some of our fence blew down, and so obviously it's a boundary fence, and we need to get the neighbours, you know, to go halves. And so I rang my insurance company and they came out and gave me a quote, and you know, it's going to cost, and we're going to give you so much money. And because the property was a rental property, I had to ring up the real estate, and they said, well, they'll get onto it. And anyway, the quote that came back for mine, and they only fixed the part of the fence that was the broken piece, was about, it came to about $3,000 for the whole job, which they'll only pay you half for, and so you've got to get that from the other party, the owner of the other property. And then they take your excess, and my excess was about $700, so I was going to get $1,500, my excess is down to $700, so that takes it down to about $831, so they paid that into my bank account. So I figured, oh, well, I'm going to have to probably put another $1,000 in. well, that's possibly what's going to have to happen. And anyway, I got a call on Friday, and it had been dragging on for a few weeks, and it's some of it's broken down more, obviously, with the last lot of wind and rain we've had. And the insurance company said, oh, look, we want to, not the insurance company, the real estate says, oh, look, the owner had a quote, and we've gone and got a quote, and we want to go ahead and get it sorted. Could you sign it? I said, well, could you send the quote through so I could see it? Well, anyway, the quote came through actually for a meter more than what I was quoted for the first time, and it was for about $1,633 for the whole job, which I'll only have to pay half. So I didn't have to even really be concerned about it or worried about it. What I got from the insurance company actually covers the job. So praise God. I mean, we can at times think, oh gosh, you know, where am I going to get that $1,000 from, and how am I going to work this into what's happening, you know, with other things that I've got, other commitments I've got to make. But it's amazing how God can work as well. And it's not worth the worry at times. Not worth the worry. In Philippians 4, verse 6, and it reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's the key. Don't be anxious, but just bring it to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And he will take care of it. And I won't have to worry. And I won't have to be concerned. So we're going to just carry on now and in Luke 10 and just go over the best part, or the best part of the story. And it's probably what I'll focus in on really to end this message. So Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. Some commentaries would say the good part, or it's sort of saying that if Martha just really needed to bring one dish, that was all that would have been necessary, not a whole banquet. But Mary has chosen the good part, or the best part. Another translation says the best part. I just thought the best part sounds really good, which will not be taken away from her. So that best part was the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and learn and listen to his words. And that's, you know, it's easy to think that we can work Jesus into our schedule. I found that if I don't put him first, it's likely by the end of the day that I've been too busy to give Jesus a minute of my time. And everything we do in life, I think we need to be at his feet, preferably in the early part of the day, just to commune with him, spend time with him. It sets our day up. Not spending time with God is the biggest mistake we can make in our spiritual lives. Without him, we can do nothing. Sometimes we think, well, we can handle everything ourselves. You know, I've got a good job. I'm making good money. I'm managing very well. And to a certain point, it can look like that. But when something happens that is out of the ordinary, how do you respond? How do you handle it then? So Mary is found on three occasions sitting at his feet. And in John, she was falling at his feet. And in John, in John 12, she's there anointing Jesus' feet with perfume and wiping his feet with her hair, drying his feet with her hair. Mary had a heart after Jesus. Our service will always come out of intimacy. Service should always come out of intimacy. What we do in life should come out of our intimacy with God. It's so easy as a Christian to be busy doing things. I'm working for God. I'm serving here, or I'm doing this for God, or I've got to make sure that I witness to a few people, or I want to be part of this ministry. I want to be part of doing this. And all those things are great. But if I'm doing it out of a works to make God proud of me, I don't have to make God proud of me. God is proud of me. You know, God is so proud of me. So I don't have to allow my, I don't have to get into, and this has been a big part of my, for so many years, doing things to, so that people may look up to me, or, you know, what do you think of me now, because I'm doing this now, or I'm doing that now. And so often when you're doing things out of that motive, or just out of that works type scenario, that's when you start to look and you start to judge others, because, oh man, look, I've been serving in the cafe, and I've been serving in children's church, and I've been doing this, and here's someone else and they seem to be getting blessings from God, and you can look and you can say, oh, you know, you start to get jealous of other people, or they're not serving or doing, they're not involved like you are. But when my service is out of intimacy with God, out of my time with God, that's where I'm serving from, that I'm wanting to serve with a heart of just giving back to God for what he's done for me, that's when my life's going to start to impact more of those around about me, that I'm going to carry more of God's presence and his spirit in my life. Because works is really, the flesh is involved. But I want my spirit involved. I want my spirit involved. I want my spirit, I want to be carrying life. And the only place that I'm going to get life is if I spend it with God, spend it in his word. Going and doing a whole lot of things which are quite noble and good, but if I'm not carrying any life, then those that are around me that are being impacted by me won't be touched at all by God. So Mary chose the best part. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, and we won't read it for time, but we know that I'll just paraphrase a bit. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And, you know, that word wait is the Hebrew word guava, sort of. That's, I think, how you say it. And it says to take time or to linger in his presence and to go where he is for a gathering, then binding yourself together with him like tying a knot. You wrap yourself around the Lord as he wraps himself around you until you become totally entwined with him. It's like a picture of a rope. When it gets twined together, there's such a great strength that comes. When you're by yourself, one little strand, very easy to snap. But when that rope is bound together, there's a greater strength. In the days we're living in today, in these days we're living in, we want to be entwined with him. We want to have our eyes upon him. We want to encounter him daily in fresh ways. We want to be full of his spirit, full of his life. We have to be, this has always been the challenge for me, that I want people to see Christ in me. I just don't want to be like everyone else. I want people to see that, hey, there's something about him. There's some life in him. Psalm 27:4 says, the one thing I have asked of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. And if the band would like to come. So the best part is sitting at Jesus' feet. That's the best part. The work will always be there. The situations will always arise. But the best part is to be waiting at Jesus' feet, allowing him to touch us, allowing him to strengthen us, allowing him to say, hey, it's going to be all right. I've got you. I've got you. And I just feel like God's just wanting to say this morning to some here that I have you. God is saying, I have you. I love you. My hand is open to you. It's like a say the picture of Jesus sitting, and you're just sitting at his feet and just having his arm just come around about you and just pull you in and give you a hug. And he's saying that I can strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. It's in your weakness that I make you strong. When you're feeling vulnerable, he's there to give you the comfort you need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, just breathe afresh on us this morning. We just need more, Lord. We just need more. God, we just ask for more this morning. Just open your hearts to Him this morning. Just open your hearts to Him. There's a fresh wind coming, says the Spirit of God. There's a fresh wind. There's a fresh wind coming. It's like I just see circumstances starting to be blown away by this fresh wind. For in this wind there's life. For in this wind there is life. And it's like it's blowing away the adversary. It's blowing away the storms around. For it's a fresh wind. It's a wind of my spirit, says this God. It's a wind, a fresh wind of my spirit. And it's going to stir you. And it's going to awaken you to what I have ahead for you. So don't sit back. Don't sit back. Don't just watch. But be open. Allow the Spirit of God to move through you in a fresh way. I feel like some here this morning, you've had encounters. But then life is just become dull and it's like you're just going through. But I believe that God is wanting to touch you afresh today. And if that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to come to the front and God will touch you.